Okay, start it now and the intro with that.
Did you say Responosaurus?
No, I said Miley Cyrus.
Oh, Miley Cyrus. It sounds like Saurus.
Welcome to the spooky podcast. Today, it's not a Halloween special because it's only our second episode, but today's podcast is going to be interspersed with scary, spooky stories read by me and poor Chegg, and it's going to be fantastic. But today, we're joined by a lovely friend of ours known as Sunny.
Sunny Six. Yeah.
Say hello. Would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
Hi, my name is Sandra, also known as Sunny, or Sunny Six.
That was really good. Oh my god, Jesus. Guys, we're out of our league. We gotta go.
I know, let's just end this now.
We should just hand it over to her.
As per
Sandy,
usual,
to the rest of the podcast.
We have Porcheg over here, and we've got Night Drain. So
hello.
You guys can do your thing, go.
Hi.
Well done. Okay. Let's just get straight into this then. Who would like to start us off with an interesting, exciting topic of their choice?
I think I'm going to start off with a spooky story. Oh. This is a relatively short one.
I'm scared.
But just to get us all in the mood, right? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's called The Day of All the Blood.
Okay? I thought you said the D.
D of All the Blood. No, that's a bit more painful. Oh god, even thinking about that makes me feel uncomfortable.
The D of All the Blood.
Oh god.
Ow.
This is the day of all the blood, okay? You guys ready? Get your pillows ready to hide behind, even though it's audio.
Okay, I'm ready. Got my pillow.
This is the story of a day where there was all the blood. A man was walking around and blood started coming out of him everywhere. There was so much blood that it filled up an elevator. He went to the store and there was just blood all over the place. People were slipping in it and they were all grossed out. He tried to go swimming and all of the sharks went nuts and biting at everybody. He got chased by all the vampires ever. One time the blood got a kid and a dog. At the end of the day, everyone decided they would send him to space so that he would stop getting blood everywhere. The scariest part is that the man was you! Or he was a lady, if you're a lady, and you forgot that this happened.
Ooh. What the hell was that kind of talk? That was the most random crap that
I thought I was going to get scared, man.
Oh my god.
That wasn't anything.
I was so confused. I was like, is this a sincere story? And then suddenly sharks came in the picture.
As soon as there was a man, and then there was all the blood. There was so much blood. Oh my god, who wrote that? Have you got a name?
I don't have a name. I found it on Reddit by a guy called Sour Cream Water.
Okay, if anybody knows the man who wrote that, I want him to write my biography.
It's so good.
Oh man.
But yeah, so swiftly moving on from that, I see in the notes here, we have the first topic is Pokemon Detective Game.
Yes, I put this one in for you specifically because I thought you'd be interested in this.
No, I heard about this, but I don't really know anything about it, so can
okay,
you fill me in?
Well, I didn't read much into it because I don't really care, but I like the concept of it. Well, basically, there was like this Japanese TV show, I think, where they were going to companies and showing how the companies worked. And during the TV show, they showed teasers of this game that's not been shown anywhere else. And it is a Pokemon game where you're a detective, but you're Pikachu, the detective.
Huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I found some screenshots.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome having like a Pokemon Noir kind of dimly lit detective game. That sounds pretty awesome.
Especially when like, you're Pikachu and all you go is like, Pika! And they're like, oh, we fell down a wall, oh no.
It's like Pikachu. Bulbasaur going around dismembering people and stuff.
But like my favorite part of this game is there's like Pikachu's nemesis is Blue Pikachu, who is like the bad Pikachu, but he's also gonna be, what is it, they've got like a mocap So they're going to motion capture Pikachu, oh, and the blue one can talk, apparently.
So they've actually got a real Pikachu through the motion capture. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, they brought Pikachu in, and
wow,
they mo-capped them. So he's hopping
technology
around.
These days, it's amazing.
I think Pokemon Snapshot is still hands down the best Pokemon game ever made, I'm sorry to say.
I never played that.
You never played oh my god.
I never played it either.
Why? But why have you guys never played Pokemon?
I didn't see the interest. It's just, you just walk around and take a picture.
It was
Pokemon.
Amazing.
You don't even walk. You're on like a train.
Yeah.
That's on rails.
That's the best part. And then like stuff just pops out.
Because
and you're like, oh look.
Can't hurt you.
It's just so relaxing. You just sit there and let the game play itself. You just watch.
Hey, you took plenty of pictures, man. It was like the best. You had to play it. You had to experience it.
Did I'll go and buy all the necessary equipment.
Do they ever do dirty things?
What?
No. Do they do the dirty?
Do they do the dirty and you take the
do they do the D?
You send it to, what is it? Pokeboy magazine?
Oh god, oh no. Just imagining some sort of terribly, like, lewd picture of a Charmander on the front cover or something. No.
That's
no.
Hot.
Alright, moving on.
It's hot. Oh, see what I did
Let's
there?
Move on. Please.
No, we're going to stick with this. This is fantastic. Fantastic news. Well done, guys.
Please, not talk about Pokemon porn
I'm
anymore.
Not like,
right now, I'm picturing every single Pokemon that I can come up with that I would be on, how it would Christ. Look on the cover.
You're ruining my childhood.
Like Staryu or something like that. How would that work? Do they just
what's wrong with you?
Just like a bikini hanging over it or something. Just like sort of flopping off. So Sandra, no. What's your favorite that's running through your head right now? Which is your favorite, sexy Pokemon?
I don't know, to be honest. I haven't found a favorite yet.
I know Snorlax,
Mr. Mime.
Oh, Mr. Mime. Mime. No. Oh, jeez. I don't know enough Pokemon to do this.
No, Squirtle. Removing the shell.
You're listening to the My Downcast podcast. Send questions to mydowncast@gmail.com. Let's move on. Let's change. This is really scary. This is perfect for Halloween. You're going to have nightmares for weeks.
I don't want to go and talk about Call of Duty yet, so we're going to go and talk about Minecraft now, the Minecraft update. Thoughts? Hit me. Don't actually
okay.
hit me.
I got a list of pros and cons of the new update in my head.
Super
are you ready?
Nice. Okay.
Okay, pro number one, a bunch of new biomes. That's obvious. That is completely obvious. Con number one, they did not add half slabs to every block yet. You know how upset that makes me? I mean, like, the grass blocks I can understand, but, like, come on. There's no reason for them not to have the half slabs and, like, stairs of every other block, every single block.
What blocks are missing half slabs anyway? There's not that many.
There is glowstone half slabs that I would love.
Oh, that
doesn't
would be
really.
Good. That would be really good.
I would wool half slabs and wool stairs. Come on now.
Wool stairs. Wool just stairs. Think about that for a second.
I think it would be great.
Well, it would be great. I think half slabs for wool is more likely than stairs.
Yeah, maybe the stairs. And then I was going to say, if not wool stairs, then definitely like clay stairs. I know they just added the clay block, but I mean, I feel like the clay half slabs and stairs.
Hardened clay.
Yeah.
Hardened clay, like half slabs and stairs really need to be added. I think that's one of the things that I did.
That's the two, the
well,
first
clay, pro- Clay's became, like, the decorative block now. Like, they need to do it. Or, like...
It's so versatile.
Yeah. Or, like, when are they going to bring out... Like, this is probably going to sound kind of ridiculous, but quarter slabs for those little bits? Fancy designs?
Oh,
like, that'd
little
be so good.
Do you mean, like...
I really... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm... Do you mean, like, posts, Liam?
No, I mean in, like, just, like, little squares. Like the quarter size
like
of
a
block.
Yeah, quarter of a block.
I think they should add, like, a... You know Red Power, the mod in Feed the Beast, which allows you to, like, slice up blocks in all different shapes and sizes?
Yes, I love
I would
that.
Like something like that, but not quite as extensive. I feel like it's a bit much. Maybe,
basically
add some of that stuff in.
That's definitely a heavy... That's why I didn't really like Feed the Beast. I felt like there was too much going on. And part of it was due to the red power. I mean, I like it. It definitely increases the opportunities to be creative.
Well, it's and it satisfies the thing with when you want to be more creative than just how you can do it in regular Minecraft.
Hmm.
I like it as well, but I find that whenever I try and build anything with it, there's too much. It's too much detail. I'm not good at putting a lot of detail in. When it's just like a square box, it's fine. I can live in that. It keeps the creepers out.
But sometimes your box just needs to look snazzy, and there's limitations there because there's too many blocks.
Pro and con number two. The game got harder is a pro, and the game too hard is a con.
Okay.
The game getting harder for me is just the ultimate con. I just can't even handle Minecraft as it is. Like, I stay out of caves. Any diamonds that I've got is through trading. I'm not going in a hole. You will never get me down in the caves without, like, Porcheg's company. Someone that can save me. I don't even have armor yet, I don't think.
Listen, I love the challenging aspect, but adding witches to the overall spawning part, this is not fair.
Witches are so powerful.
Well, I think that's just a Halloween thing.
Really?
I don't think it's temporary, because last year they did something like that also.
No, I think it's permanent.
It's just a Halloween thing, I think.
I heard it was permanent.
Oh, maybe they kept it, but I thought it was in the beginning, it was just a Halloween thing, because it makes sense.
Yeah, it does, actually. I've done more stuff for Halloween.
Anywhere outside apart from spawn. Since I found out witches are outside, like, oh god, it's just the worst.
So wait, hold on. My last pro and my last con. I made a short list. My pro number three was that they added ice that cannot be melted. Right, I love that. I think it's awesome.
I did not know about this.
Because you could just like ice. If you put it like a half slab on top of it, you can make you can run faster. If you do it the right way, and like the fact that it's not going to melt, you can do so many more,
And it's actually a nice looking block. It's like light blue. It's a
nice building block. But the con to go with that is they changed the way ice works, the regular ice works in water, and I really, really like that. But on the side note, the stained glass kind of makes up for that because. I was messing around with it, and the blue stained glass looks pretty good underwater. So,
for those of you unawares, you used to be able to look through ice and then see through water as if it wasn't there. And I thought it was really cool as well. It was an awesome effect, but it really didn't make sense. So I can understand why they took it out. I don't agree with it, but, I mean, and then again, with a game like Minecraft, there really isn't much. There's, like, certain kind of things you can take where it doesn't need to necessarily make sense. Yeah,
for sure.
Also, another thing that we should explain that I forgot at the start. We are all from a Minecraft server, if you don't know this already, if you're new. I'm just going to push that out because I didn't say it, just in case.
No.
My downtime. Yeah. Represent.
My down goes?
Oh.
Well, one thing that I want to take up then is the boats that they are messed up.
Oh, yeah,
those are
you're
so
right.
Screwed.
You teleport everywhere with those freaking boats now.
Really?
Like, you sail up to land, and then you jump out of a boat, and you appear, like, 100 blocks behind you.
Wow, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I didn't start realizing it until we went on our second adventure in the game.
Yeah.
We started exploring in another direction, and I was coming across to the first land, and then when I got out of the boat, Porcheg was right in front of me, but then he disappeared, and I was like, Porcheg, where'd you go? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm on land. I'm like, how?
I've mastered the art of teleportation.
And I was like, I was so confused, and I found out I was in the middle of the ocean.
What's your guys' new favorite biome, then?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What are we going to start with? Who Sandra. Wants to say it first?
I don't know, to be honest, if I have a favorite new biome. Like, I like the mushroom forest things. But I don't know. I think it's really good that they implemented the clay hills there. And I think it's really cool also that they made the whole world generation is like...
It's really different to what it was before.
Yeah, but everything is like, if you want to look for example, a clay biome, you have to look in dry areas.
Now, is that a fact? Because I heard
it's a fact. It's a fact.
It is in the coding and everything.
Yeah, so it's about temperature and humidity, the whole all of it now. So it makes sense, all of it. So you won't find a jungle next to
a snow biome.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that you won't just be like walking through a snow biome and randomly go into like a desert, just like, oh, okay, jeez.
That's exactly what we have at spawn on my downtime. Yeah, desert right beside the
snow biome. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ridiculous. That's pretty funny.
Also, I heard someone say the My Down Ghost earlier. Sandra, have you heard of the My Down Ghost?
Spooky.
My Down Ghost?
Every Halloween, he comes on the server.
So, this is the first time he's been on the server?
No.
He
was there before we were there.
Yeah, he started up the server. I don't think you know this. Will through the underworld.
Right. But before Will bought the server, it was run by Native Americans.
I'm so scared.
Before we colonized the Americas, and the My Down Ghost haunts it till this day because Will bought it. I don't know.
The previous owners of the server died.
No.
And they haunt the IP address forever.
No. All right, moving on. My favorite biome. Okay.
Yeah, we saw how Will's old server turned out. Eli likes anal or whatever it's called.
I have no idea. All right, you're getting confused. What I actually said, and it was just something to say to make you guys laugh. And let's just not bring that up. I prefer.
Okay, Will's favorite biome.
Right. Will's favorite biome. I would think that my favorite biome has to be, because of the one area that me and Porchek found, the Savannah Plateau. Now, I've seen the Savannah M, and I've seen a Savannah M Plateau, I think it was. Or no, actually, that's what it's called, Savannah Plateau. And I think I don't like it because of it being so high up. And I'm not sure if you get snow in the Savannah biome. I don't think you do. Cause it wouldn't
That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
But, I mean, it's like the extreme hills biomes get snow once they reach a certain point in the sky, right?
Yeah, but that's the only extreme hills biomes that does that.
Well, even so, I don't know. I don't really feel like the Savannah M biomes were as good as I really wanted them to be, but... Maybe it's just the ones I saw, but I do really, really like the Savannah Plateau, the regular Savannah Plateau biomes, because they are just magnificent.
I'm going to be stupid ask, what does the M mean?
I think it stands for mega. Oh.
Or I would assume either that or mountain.
Maybe.
No, like, mega.
Mega?
I think it's mega.
So, Liam, what's your favorite biome?
Hold on, moving swiftly on. Can I go first? Because mine's is very closely linked to yours, Will.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Fine. So, jeez, I don't even want to talk about. Guys, I'm screwed, guys. Stupid show.
Oh no.
Ah, somebody's a sore loser.
So me and Will went exploring and walked a grand total of about 30,000 blocks, probably more. We walked out 30,000 blocks and then back. So, like, we walked so far, it was ridiculous. And in all that time, we didn't find Mesa, or we found one Savannah. But I think, like, as cool as the Mesa biome is, and I really like the way it looks, I really don't have any inspiration to build there, and I just like it because of the clay, because it can be used in other builds, so I'll probably just use it for resources. But my favourite biome has to be the Savannah Plateau M. It's just like a massive, huge, like, mountain that goes up to, like, a ridiculously high Y, and... there's just like savannah trees everywhere and stuff like that. It looks absolutely brilliant.
I think 110 it went up to or something.
Yeah, well, one of them went up to like 140.
Wow.
But you can like see the entire savannah out of the whole thing. And the one that I found was in the middle of a savannah, so all you could see was savannah, which is super duper awesome.
That was the one thing I did really, really like about it, that the view from the Savannah M Plateau, if it's within, which it usually is within a savannah, like, that's another thing that I actually like about the update. the biomes aren't just biomes anymore. They're like now biomes, and then they have biomes within the biomes. It's like Biomeception.
Oh dear. Like the spiky ice plains?
Or yeah, whatever. Yeah, spiky, yeah.
Ice plains. They're inside ice plains, so you can't find them anywhere else, which makes sense.
Yeah. It's like a Biomeception. All right, Liam, what's your favorite biome?
He's still angry, Liam.
I'm back.
Huh? Okay, that's fine.
Just had to go out and do my angry dance.
Did you twerk?
I was. Now just put an image to that, someone. What's your brain?
Excellent.
Sexy Pokemon.
Just find a picture of Vin Diesel.
Okay. Went different directions there. Sexy Pokemon. Vin Diesel. They're the same. Vin Diesel is actually a Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, no!
You can actually catch him in the game.
And also, we sent him an email asking to become on the podcast today, but he's actually busy. He'll be on the next one, so don't worry about that.
Yeah,
We replaced him with Sandra. My favorite biome. jeez. You know what? I don't really know any of the new biomes. I know the one with the funky trees, that the new wood. Which is pretty beautiful. That new wood is good, but they're still all just trees to me.
Is that the... Which wood is that? Is that the savanna wood or the dark oak?
The dark oak. I haven't seen the savanna yet. But my favourite biome is the one that I'm currently living in. Just the regular old wintery one. It's comfy. Homely. I like it.
Cozy. Did anybody say, remember? Because I actually did forget. This does come pretty close. The flower biome. What is it? Flower forest?
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, I really enjoy those because they are, like, not only is there just, like, you know, flowers naturally spawn there, you can grow them, like, right?
Yeah.
You can just put bone meal down and they'll just start.
Yeah, that's a good thing that they added to.
You can
flowers.
Get the dyes easier, which makes my train station labeling easier. Yeah. Because I'm a big old noob.
I love how, like, when we found that first one on that tiny island. We just decimated it.
It's like every man for themselves. Just grab the flowers! Grab the flowers!
Awesome. Like super hardcore extreme botanists.
Hey, you're listening to the My Downcast podcast. Remember, you can always ask us any questions at mydowncast@gmail.com. Okay. So, moving on from the Minecraft update.
I'm going to tell a story.
Oh,
no. Okay, story time.
Is it scary or is it like poor
things? This one is the scarier of the two.
Should I shut off my lights?
It's really, really short and it's kind of stupid, but it did freak me out a little bit because I'm a big pansy. So I'm going to go for it, right? And you've probably all heard this because I'm pretty sure it's like people used to say this when they were kids. And it's really childish, but let's go. Okay. All right. This one's called The Bad Dream. Now I want you all to get in character here, okay? Especially you, Sandra, okay?
Yeah. Don't laugh, though.
Sandra, you need to pretend that you're a man, okay?
Okay. Done.
You good with this? And you have a daughter, okay? I think it's a daughter. Right, okay. Right, and I'm talking to you, Sandra.
Okay.
Right. Well, I am you as well. This is getting weird. I'll tell the story. Okay.
Sounds like Earth's Inception.
Daddy, I had a bad dream.
Right? Your child's English. You blink your eyes and pull up on your elbows. Your clock glows red in the darkness. It's 3:23. Oh, spooky. Do you want to climb into bed and tell me about it?
No, Daddy.
The oddness of the situation wakes you up more fully. You can barely make out your daughter's pale form in the darkness of your room. Why not, sweetie?
Because in my dream, when I told you about the dream, the thing wearing Mummy's skin sat up.
For a moment, you feel paralyzed. You can't take your eyes off your daughter. The covers behind you begin to shift. Suki! Hi, you're listening to the My Downcast podcast. If you want to send us any questions, send them to mydowncast@gmail.com. That's mydowncast@gmail.com.
Is that it?
That's it. It's as far as it goes. That will chill you to the bone. It's really creepy, especially with that little kid's voice.
Oh, you know what I thought about when you told that, though?
What?
That guy Smiley.
Smiley?
You never heard of Smiley?
Mr. Smiley from Sesame Street.
JPEG?
Yeah, the Smiley guy who murders people.
I'm really disappointed that didn't chill you to the bone. When I read it, I freaked out. I had a full-on fit. You guys suck.
You guys never seen Smiley. Smiley Killer? No?
Is that the one, the crap?
I heard of the Smiley dog.
Here we go. Check it out.
I want to look at this image.
He is creepy as hell.
Oh, great. Using images in a podcast. Oh, that was the film made by YouTubers.
Was it?
Yeah, American YouTubers made that film.
American YouTubers!
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty sure like Shay Carl or something's in it. Something like that. I'm not sure.
We should try and put that link in the description if we can.
Put in the show notes, boys!
I shall pop it in the show notes.
Okay. Well, when I first read that, I was really super scared. It was like I'd seen a ghost. Speaking of ghosts, Ghosts is a game that is coming out, or is out? It's coming out soon.
It's coming out.
And I want to know if you guys hate it, like it. What's your thoughts on it? Especially you, Sandra. Start us off. Do you care?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think that answers the question.
Is it Call of Duty Ghost or something?
Yeah. This is the newest one. Coming out.
I don't know.
Don't know anything about it.
Have you played it, Call?
Well, I know that it's coming out, but I don't know that much detail into it, so I can't really say.
Do you think you're going to buy
it? It's like every other Call of Duty game.
With all the money that I got.
That's a no.
Well, Porchek seems to know his shizzle whizzle, because he's like, every Call of Duty game, I'm Porchek. So we'll
I don't have every Call of Duty game. Well, I have everyone since Modern Warfare 2. Honestly, I see, like, people always bash Call of Duty for being a crappy, repetitive game, and I would agree that it's very repetitive. Though it does change fairly significantly from, well, not fair, it's not significantly in the slightest. It changes a bit from game to game, but I play it more like an arcade game. Like, I'll play like a match or two when I'm bored of other games and I just want to shoot some people because it's fairly easy. But like, people who take it seriously and stuff, I don't know. Like, I've never really done it before, but I don't know, it might be quite interesting to do like a proper, like, taking the game seriously, but I like to just muck around and stuff when I'm playing that game.
I could tell you a lot about taking the game seriously.
Okay, well,
I was a Call of Duty nerd since Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, the first Modern Warfare, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I just loved it. I thought, you know, it was great because I had never played a shooter game like that besides like Time Splitters for the GameCube, and I just thought, you know, it was like a whole new experience. And then, what came out after it? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or was it World at War?
Let's get psyched.
It was World at War, I think, came
World
out.
World at War, yeah.
Yeah. So World at War came out, and I played it, and I was like, the hell is this?
I like that one. I love that one.
With just lower... I didn't like it only because the guns were like, so... They were older guns, and I guess I just didn't like that.
Okay, I'm going to go into why I like that one better in a bit, but continue.
Okay. But I don't know, I didn't like it. So then I got Modern Warfare 2, and I thought it was the same thing as Modern Warfare 1, except there were more maps. Ooh! But I really liked it. So when I took it seriously and I played seriously, I realized one thing. This is incredibly easy, and there is no strategy. There is no teamwork. There is nothing needed except I'm going to shoot you. Bam. Done.
You can run around and just hold the trigger button and you'll get
it. No, that won't work. That won't work well, but I mean, if you're playing against other people who are serious, sure, you need teamwork. I mean, any game could need teamwork, but there's like no strategy. That's just how I feel, of course. It's just my opinion. And then I got the other one, Call of Duty. What was that? Black Ops. I got Call of Duty Black Ops 1. I got Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Yeah, they were good. Yeah, I like Black Ops 2 probably the best. But really? Let me tell you, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I knew buying it was going to be a mistake. I bought it. I returned it within the first month and said, give me my money back. This is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I don't want this game.
That game was laughably similar to Call of Duty Modern Warfare
2. Laughably similar? It was the same exact thing!
It had the same HUD and everything. And you know the worst part about it? I bought two copies. I'm that guy. I bought two copies of Modern Warfare 3. I think it was Modern Warfare 3.
It was two. You bought two copies.
Was it two copies of two? I don't know. They're so similar. That I
exactly. That's the problem.
Was the perks. That's it.
Killstreaks as well, but the killstreaks are dumb. Yeah. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. I think killstreaks should go back to the way they were in Modern Warfare 1, where like it's just like you've got your set killstreaks. Deal with it, then people actually had to use them smart. If you get me.
Yeah.
Whereas now they can just be like, you held up there, and then like when people started to not get the good ones, they were like, oh, it's okay because we're gonna put in these ones that you can get just by dying as well. Like not the death streaks, as in like the ones that carry over. So if you get like 15 kills altogether in a match, then it adds up to that. Yeah. I can't remember what they were called.
I know what you're talking.
I don't honestly care.
Called score streaks.
There you go.
But you were talking about how you were a Call of Duty nerd. I've played Call of Duty since Call of Duty 1. And I'm not meaning like Modern Warfare 4-1. I'm meaning like PC gamer, like super old, like Medal of Honor times, that one. I played that one. And oh my god, that was like my favorite childhood PC game because I'd play it online. It was like the first online game that I played, probably. So when World at War came out, I liked that more than I liked Modern Warfare 4, because you get your old like your M1 Garand, all that stuff, and it just like felt better to me. But
maps on World at War were really good.
Yeah, and the snipers, like I can't remember what it was about the snipers. The snipers were really good. It might have been because that was when like camouflage was first introduced. I don't know, like properly, but yeah. But nobody has talked about the new one yet. You've all talked about your favorite ones. My opinion on the new one is I probably won't buy it until it's down in price. I still haven't bought Black Ops 2 yet because I was like, oh, I'll buy that when it comes down in price, but it's still like £50. I don't understand.
Yeah, like Modern Warfare 2 is still around £30 or something. If you buy it like on Steam and stuff, it's ridiculous.
Did we put our guest to sleep, possibly?
No, I'm here.
Just making sure.
Yeah. No, I'm still here. I'm listening.
I just got handed a bunch of loud snacks.
Oh, that was you with the snacks.
Yeah, and I've got like these 5 bags of like really loud things. So I'm gonna try and not touch them until we're done. But it's so tempting.
Okay, so my opinion on Call of Duty Ghost is that 1, I'm not gonna buy it. 2, it's probably gonna be the same thing as the rest of them. And 3, I really, really don't like how everyone is on that game. Like, sure, you'll get your jerks and your nerds on video games, like obviously online games, but the people on Call of Duty, I get a 12-year-old telling me to go do something to my own mom that is just not inappropriate. And it's
not,
like,
not inappropriate, pardon?
It's not. Oh, right. Not appropriate. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's just so inappropriate, is what I meant to say.
I'm gonna take this super serious here, and I'm gonna bring up like a gaming marketing point here. Okay, these are all probably gonna not appreciate, but it's really annoying. And I bring this up every time Call of Duty comes into a conversation. But right now, the gaming market, which we all participate in, we buy games, we like games, but we like good games. And they're kind of recycling the same game, but people are still buying it. But the thing that annoys me the most about it, and I might have said this last podcast, is that our market is dominated by kids that are purchasing an 18-plus game that's being remade over and over again to make more money from kids. So the market is dominated by children making the same game that dominates the whole market, which means people get less budget, which means we don't get the games that we want. You dig?
Means less unique games are made. Yeah, I know what you mean. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, it makes sense, but like, come on.
At the end of the day, companies that make games are going to make games that make them money. Yeah, unless there's certain exception of independent
that's
developers.
That's something that I actually have. I was looking at a review or a Norwegian gaming program, and they talked about all the big companies that make all of those big games like Call of Duty and stuff. They listen to the crowd, and the crowd is most children, and they don't because they don't get enough money.
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Apparently they don't get enough money. They don't all the money that they get in, it's not adding up to the amount they are putting into the game.
Oh man, I don't have enough money. I can't buy the 7th supercar. My 4th house is like a tap broken. Ah, oh, it's hard life.
It's probably because all the people who are buying their games who aren't 12-year-old little kids. I'm no offense to 12-year-old kids. I feel like I'm putting, you know, younger kids
it's
down.
Not even
I'm
that,
not.
Though. It's not 12-year-olds. It's like 7-year-olds.
Yeah, you're right. It's even younger than that. It's just
it's not even necessarily the age. It's just that they're douchebags.
Yeah, they're not nice people. They really aren't.
Hey, but you guys are generalizing, remember? There's plenty of people who are nice that play Call of Duty. Like, I've played it before, and people still say GG at the end of games sometimes.
Listen,
it's not
I'm
common,
sure there,
but it happens.
I'm sure there are people like that, but I have not run into them. I have not run into one nice person on Call of Duty that was younger than me. All of the nice people... And that's like maybe 2% of the people I've met on Call of Duty were people either my age or just a few years older than me. I've even had some adults saying stuff to me. And
the adults
like,
are worse most of the time.
They
They're
are.
Horrible because they know the bad words and they use them.
Oh man.
What about the new game mode? Has anybody seen the new game mode? Shall I explain it for yous?
Explain it quickly, then we should move on from Call of Duty.
We should move on from Call of Duty, but... basically, they've replaced the zombie game mode. Well, I don't know if they've replaced it, but there's a new game mode. I think it's called, like, something like Infestation or something. I can't remember completely, right. But it's about... Basically, did any of you ever play Modern Warfare 2, how you had the Spec Ops, and one of them was Survival?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Where you take on waves of enemies. Imagine that crossed with zombies, so you'd be surviving against waves of enemy, protecting a drill, I think it is, from aliens. Is that cool or what? Aliens.
It does sound pretty awesome.
Okay, you may think it sounds awesome, but like, really? In a Call of Duty game? What? I mean, cool. For granted, at least they're doing something different. Let's
yeah, I know.
Give them credit. But
bonus
aliens? I don't know.
I'm just happy that everyone's moving away from zombies now. Like, we're getting free from zombies. The zombie thing's over. It's ending.
No, I love that. I always love zombies.
I don't know. It's getting a bit old. But
sometimes when it's done well, it's fine. When it's not, it's,
yeah, exactly. Because no
if it's nothing special, it's not worth making.
I don't find zombies scary anymore. But you know what I do find scary? Porchegg's next story. Come on.
Oh, spooky.
Okay. I'm gonna tell the longest one I have, and this one's pretty long. I also haven't proofread it, but I've heard it's scary. So
okay, read it in your most epic of voices. And I'm going to eat some...
My house was built in... Okay, no.
Oh, just yeah. Sorry. really tasty!
You are watching my Downcast podcast. If you guys have any questions or comments to this podcast, feel free to send an email to mydowncast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, guys, get ready for the thrill of your scariest story lives. Apparently, this is a true story, according to the author. So, yeah, let's begin. My house was built in 1904. It is a single-family home, wood frame, setting on a concrete block foundation. I have been living there for over 12 years. Of all the weird things that my siblings and me have seen or heard in the house, this one is my favorite. This happened to my brother about 10 years ago. Oh, sorry. This happened to my brother. About 10 years ago, my brother and his friends had started a garage band playing mostly Spanish rock.
Right.
The best kind of rock. Alternative music, but in Spanish. His friends could only get together on Sunday afternoons. They would practice into the early evening. They would usually call it quits by 8 p.m. This was the time I usually showed up and went to bed, because I worked the graveyard shift. This happened in late fall, so the days were getting shorter. They had just finished a long session when the decision to head to someone else's house came about. My brother handed his car keys to his buddy so they could load up the equipment. Everyone had filed out of the basement. The tricky part was that they needed to walk all the way back, all the way to the back of the basement, up the back stairs, through the kitchen doorway, down the hall, into the living room, holy crap, and out into the front porch. Everyone was sitting in my brother's truck waiting for him. My brother was walking up the back stairs when he remembered that he had left his pancakes in a to-go container sitting on a speaker in the basement. He made the decision to go back. Now the basement is not clean. With full sight lines, there has been partitions made, and the boiler and main heating unit are right smack in the middle. So after my brother walks back, he is about to retrieve his food container when, out of the corner of his eye, he sees it. It's a shadowy figure right at his peripheral vision. This feeling of dread and uneasiness washed over my brother. We have been taught that if you are in the presence of a spirit or ghost and you feel a bad vibe, to say a quick prayer or cuss at it, because swearing at ghosts works wonders.
Piss it off?
I don't know. Anyway, my brother chose the latter. He basically just told it, hey, fuck you, I don't have time for this shit.
Oh, damn.
My brother started to walk to the back of the basement and briskly up the stairs, closing the doors and turning off lights as he was walking out. The last light switch is on the opposite side of the front door. Luckily, the door was open and the light from the street lamp was flooding the living room with its amber light.
Better run.
My brother said he felt something at his back, but at no point did he turn around. As he flicked the last switch, the living room went dark.
No!
As the rest of the house did. As he stepped out, he pulled on the door, closing it behind him, still holding his food container in one hand. Got to protect those pancakes. He jogged down the few porch steps. He walked towards the front gate. Our house resides from the main street, essentially having a large front yard, but no rear garage. As he closed the gap between himself and his friends, laden truck, he smiled and thought things over in his head, mad at himself for spooking out. There was no reason. Almost finished. He climbed into the driver's seat of the truck, putting on his seatbelt and getting ready to pull out the parking spot directly in front of the house, when one of his friends asked, hey, wait, what about your brother? Isn't he coming with us? My brother answered, what do you mean? He went to work early tonight. He's already gone. Do you see his car anywhere? The next question they asked, so then who was walking behind you when you were leaving the house?
That's creepy!
I'm confused. Sorry, that was scary, but I'm confused.
But there's one point in the story I don't remember, but I was like, huh?
If that really happened, because I'm a believer in the supernatural.
But his brother wasn't there, like, how was he talking as if his brother was there?
Because his brother probably told him the story.
Maybe the ghost wanted pancakes and that douchebag took all the pancakes.
I mean,
either way, I'm going to be watching my back when I leave doors at night now.
Yeah, that's
creepy stuff. I had this really, like, I'm going to go off on a tangent again. I'm going to make this really quick. I had this really horrible thought today that is also super spooky Halloween theme. I was sitting at McDonald's, okay, represent my people. And I was leaning against the wall, and I was just thinking, if someone was drilling on the other side of a wall, right, imagine if it came through and just killed you. Oh my god, that's so scary.
That's so scary.
Wouldn't you have to drill?
And, like, the rest of the day, I was like, I don't want to lean on walls anymore. Like, if somebody's doing some DIY on the other side, you could die.
You could just die. But oh god, that's a terrible thought.
That's what I want to know.
God, so
these are the things that go through my brain when I sit in McDonald's. But...
okay,
I have one more quick story before we move on. Okay,
oh,
it's
no.
Like it's just three lines long. Okay, this is another one from this website I found, just full of these stupid things. Anyway, one day these kids went to an abandoned youth camp. The old guy, some guy, I don't know who he was, tried to warn them that it was haunted by a killer and had a curse, but they didn't believe him. After a week, they went home and everything was fine. But then 46 years later, one of them got cancer and died.
That is spooky. That is proper spooky.
That's not even funny. You're just making fun of kids. Oh, that's terrible. All right, let's stick to the Oh wait, I can't even say this, but all right, I'm just gonna give a quick. I really, really, really want to talk about Beyond Two Souls.
Okay. He's been dying to talk about Beyond Two Souls.
I have, because none of these guys have bought it, and I just think it's like one of the best games I've ever played.
Also, keep listening. Now, he's not gonna say any spoilers. It's okay. Yeah. Don't hang up. Yeah. Don't hang up.
No spoilers. Don't worry. Should have said that first, but. I just really want to talk about the gameplay, since I can't really talk about the story, because I don't want to spoil anything. But the gameplay is, if you haven't played Heavy Rain, it's exactly like that, and I'll explain it really quick, if you haven't played Heavy Rain. Basically, the gameplay is technically an interaction style, so when something comes at you, or when you want to pick up something or interact with something, you move your analog stick, and basically in like the direction where the item is located. And now if someone's like attacking you, you move your analog stick. Once like this little slow motion scene takes place, you move your analog stick, you know, in the direction avoiding the attack or trying to block the attack. And it's very, very interesting. And the choices you make, I have heard, actually impact your story. So I didn't play Heavy Rain, and I've heard that there are different endings as well. Mm-hmm. But that just makes a great game to me when there are multiple endings. Like, you know that game's got to be good if there are multiple endings. I mean, given the fact that Mass Effect 3 and the ending was terrible, I won't say anything about it, but it was just terrible. The rest of the game, Mass Effect 3 included, and Mass Effect 2 and 1 were just amazing. And I'm playing Beyond Two Souls, and I have yet to beat it yet.
You still want it to end.
I don't want it to end, but it's just the way the story goes isn't in order either. And at first I didn't like that, but I love it now. And it's just because you'll get to one part, and then it will go back to like another part that happened before that. And it just makes you really want to get up to the current point to see what happens, and it makes the game so much more interesting.
Yeah, it's a super cinematic game, right? It's like super cinematic. Yeah, it's like playing a movie.
It is, but they also have like points in the game where it's not like that. You actually are. It's just like a regular game, technically.
Does it ever scare you?
No, it's not necessarily a scary game. There may be parts that may freak some people out, but it's not one of those games that if you're looking for a thrill or like a scare, it's probably not one of those games, at least yet. I haven't gotten up to anything that.
So the Loch Ness monster teamed up with a werewolf hasn't invaded the game yet. That hasn't happened, right?
No.
Is that a bit terrifying?
It is pretty suspenseful. It's a little suspenseful, but that at the most. And it's just such a good game. I have never played a game like this. I just really want to emphasize on how good it is, in my opinion, at the very least. For some reason, the people on IGN gave it a horrible review, but then the community that read that review made fun of the person, which wasn't necessary.
That's mean. Come on.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary, but I do agree with the people who told her that she was wrong, because in my opinion, at the very least, she was completely off. And she didn't even make any good points when playing. It's just like she gave her a complete biased statement, and she didn't recognize anything good about the game at all. Like, she didn't even mention the graphics or the storyline. She just didn't like the game. That's all she basically said. Sure, you're entitled to your opinion, but
when it's always going to be people who don't like a game, regardless of how good other people think it is.
When you're a critic, you have to be fair. You can't just, you know, base it off of what you think. Sure. I don't know. I just don't like critics.
But like the game critiquing, well, the great game reviewing people, like generally speaking, game reviews are crappy. If you want to play a game, just play it and see if you like it or not.
I never really watch game reviews other than for comedic value. If I want to find out what a game's like, I'll just go watch a gameplay trailer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, bringing up something here about gameplay and all the reviewer stuff. Did everybody hear what happened to Total Biscuit?
No.
No.
Biscuit.
Yeah.
Okay, Total Biscuit's a game reviewer. He's a YouTuber. He's one of like the biggest game reviewers on YouTube, I'd say.
Wait, okay. Did that guy give a bad review on of War Z?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's a terrible
and
game.
He got like harassed for it.
Yeah. Well, no. It's the same situation here as that, but worse. Basically, what happened was he was given like the game to like preview the day before it came out or whatever to do a review on it by the guy who made the game. So he sent out like copies to certain reviewers or gameplay people on the YouTubes. I don't know who they are. I don't have a channel myself. But anyway, he got the copy of this game, and he's known for being like pretty cynical. It's in his YouTube name, The Cynical Brit. And he's pretty critical about games, which they should be, but he's always like kind of fair. Like, you'll give his positives. But basically, there's this game. It's called like Gary's something day. I don't know. It's a bad game, basically. And he gave it a bad review. But what happened was, since he gave it a bad review, basically, the guy who gave him the copy of the game to do a review on said that he didn't have the rights to review the game and gave him, like, a copyright strike. Whereas...
That's ridiculous.
The people who gave the game, like, good reviews or just didn't say anything about it and played it, they got to keep playing it. But since he was like, this is a bad game, guys don't buy it, they don't deserve money or whatever he said, I don't know, the video got taken down, he's not allowed to repost it, but, basically, that the guy who made the game just shut down that video completely. Well, so he just censored it, basically, which kind of
that's
sucks.
Crazy. If you're gonna send it to like reviewers, you got to expect some sort of negative criticism.
It's nuts. And apparently, like obviously, he would have known that he's gonna make a review on it, and the person that he is, and like that's that's his job. So when like a video gets taken down of him giving a review, that's kind of his daily pay gone now.
Exactly.
And he gets copyright strikes for it as well, which is terrible, because everybody knows if you get 3 copyright strikes, you're out.
And the problem with this is the guy who made the game and then took down the video is getting more bad press as a result of him taking down the video, because now more people know. Like, I didn't know about that. I'm not subscribed to Total Biscuit, but from your information, now I know that
I'm gonna play the game. I personally didn't like Total Biscuit because I felt that his review of War Z was completely
you're kidding me, right?
War Z was a mess.
Listen. The game at first wasn't half bad. It really wasn't. I played it. And it was enjoyable, but the way he like just went about giving the review. Like, I agree with his review now, but I still don't agree with the way he goes about giving it. So maybe that's just the way he reviews games. I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on from...
We're running out of time here.
Well, War Z was a scary game, right? It was supposed to be, but it wasn't, because it's terrible. What is
it wasn't scary,
all of your guys' favorite scary games? We'll start with... Sandra, come on. Hit me.
My favorite scary game?
Do you have any scary games that you like, or scary films, or scary anything?
Well, let's stick to games. Scary games.
Scary, come on.
Well... I don't really play that many scary games because I kind of freak out.
That's the exact same.
I can enjoy watching Let's Plays.
I'll rephrase my question. Sandra, what would you think is the most effective scary game?
Yeah.
Or the scariest moment you've ever had in a game?
Oh, here we go. Perfect.
Scariest moment in a game. Oh,
there's just too many.
I have to go first because I've got a list.
I have one, so let me go first. I can say it really quick.
And everyone else can think.
So it was in Dead Space 2, and I was playing through the game, and you get to this one part, and boom, there are dead babies.
Oh, they're the worst.
I was so creeped out because they kept making like all these like. You know how like childhood songs are supposed to be like all happy, but they're actually really dark and
Yeah,
that's what they were like playing those like the lullaby music and like you heard baby laughter and they were just coming to kill you. Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, too spooky.
That sounds pretty scary.
It was the worst. I literally played that part with my eyes closed. It was the worst part of Dead Space.
I did it on live stream and it was just horrific. That was like the worst part. Like the fact that they were actually allowed to like there was like dead baby monsters in the first one as well. And just the fact that they're allowed to do that creeped me out. It's
in the second, it was so much more effective. Oh, it was just so creepy.
You two played Dead Space, right? You've played Dead Space 3 together, Sandra and Borchegg, right?
Yeah, I was about to say Dead Space, maybe. Because Borchegg and I, we kind of freaked out when we were playing it.
Every 5 seconds of that game, it was just like, okay, everything's fine now. We managed to escape the screen. Oh my god! Ah!
We kind of stopped playing it.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Me and Jay, too. We just stopped. Wait, Borchegg, what's your list? Let's hear it.
Okay, quick, so... go. The scariest thing that's ever happened in a video game happened in Fallout 3. Fallout 3 isn't a particularly scary game overall, but there are scary things in it. But when it was like the first game, like the first, it was the first first-person shooter I played, I think, one of the first at least that I played all the way through. And I was fairly young at the time, and I got to this bit where you know how there's like all these underground systems, underground tunnels and stuff in Fallout.
Sure.
I got to this bit where I went through one. It was near. I think it was near Rivet City, and I went in, and I was like, oh, everything's fine around here. And I always had the radio on in that game, because it made me like, I was just like, I'm singing the song, and everything's fine, I'm not gonna die.
It's that, like such a like, relief in those situations as well.
Yeah. So I was walking through this place, listening to the music, and because I went underground, I think, I'm pretty sure it cut out or something like that. And I was like, oh god, damn, the radio's off. And I remember it was too far away, it was like one of the first missions where... the game isn't there, or the music isn't there because you haven't got the radio beacon for Galaxy News Radio. Anyway. So I was walking down this sort of corridor, and I turn around, and there was a Mirelurk right in my face. And Mirelurks are like those big shell creatures, and I'd never seen one before. And I turn around, and he just like takes half my health with one swipe. I was like, fuck! I didn't play it for a week. I was like, it was so bad. Never ever went in that tunnel again.
Oh,
oh god, it terrified me.
But really quick, speaking of things that freak me out, Liam, what freaks us out?
Water.
Water in games is the worst!
Let me take you back to the boots of, like, childhood Liam, okay? He's a young gamer. He's having a great time. He goes out, he buys himself a game for the PS2, okay? It's one of the first games he gets on the PS2. It's called Jack and Daxter, okay?
Oh, no!
Right? The scariest game I've ever played. No doubt. Like, you start off, and there's no spoilers here, but, like, you start off in this little town, and you can swim, and to me that was awesome, because, like, as a child, you're like, you can swim in this game? Yeah, you can swim, it's a good game. Or, you can swim in this game? No, it's a terrible game, because you can't swim. That's what I thought.
Okay. The basis of good games is always of whether you can swim or not.
Okay, so I'm this kid, I'm swimming around, I'm Jack, I'm like, this is the best game ever made. And then, maybe I just swam out a little bit too far. And this heartbeat starts going, it's like dun 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 dun, and it slowly, like, it starts getting faster, dun 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 dun. Giant fish just eats me right there and then. I have a heart attack, throw my controller in the air, maybe like pass out or something, and I never finished that game ever.
Oh no.
And I'm yet to go back and play it. It was horrific. No.
That reminds me of Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh man.
But me and Will tried to conquer our fears the other day. We got submarines in Grand Theft Auto. And we didn't go very deep.
You're listening to the My Dencast podcast. Send questions to mydencast@gmail.com.
Oh, okay, guys, we're running out of time. Oh, no.
Oh, can all right, we finish really up quick. With
best this? Halloween ever.
I hate Halloween.
I don't like Halloween either.
Yeah, I don't do anything about it.
Special Halloween. We all hate Halloween.
Sandra, do you like Halloween?
Oh, I don't mind it. I think it's a funny tradition, kind of how it turned out, but...
It's weird that we even celebrate it. It's not celebrating anything.
Yeah. I really enjoy scary things, so it's... Yeah, but...
I think it was like, good
for,
as a kid.
I don't know about you guys, but for us, Halloween is... For children, it's just about getting candy, and...
That's just how it is.
And for... people like me, it's an excuse to have a weird costume party to drink alcohol.
See, that's what annoys me, because now that we're older, okay, obviously, like, we go out and we spend money, but to go out and spend money on Halloween, you have to spend money to go out and spend money on a costume, and it drives me nuts. Like, I just end up, like, painting my face.
The only thing I really like about Halloween is the fact that they run like scary movies like all day long. Like
I do like the Halloween specials that appear like on YouTube or on TV and stuff. They're usually pretty funny.
Yeah, I like the Halloween specials, except I don't have a TV this year, so because my TV in my room broke.
Oh, dear.
My box did. So Halloween kind of seems pointless to me, especially since I have to work on Halloween.
Oh, boo. So, you're going to get egged on your way home, mate. You're going to get egged. Or do you not do that in Americas?
I know. We definitely, they definitely do that. And I have experienced eggings.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up with the scariest story, guys.
Oh,
I'm sorry
boy.
To interrupt you here.
Okay, here we go. Okay,
you guys need to prepare your butts. Because I don't think the last one got you. I don't think...
Andrew, are you ready? Because I'm not. I'm scared.
Be scared. Ready, this is... This one's going to hit hard. Right. This one's called... The Boy Who Loved to Read.
Oh, no.
Spooky. Lightning. Werewolf. Sentence.
What a nerd.
Once there was a boy... Crap, damn it. There's a pop-up on my screen. Okay. Once...
Oh, God, that's terrifying. Jesus Christ.
This one's short, okay? Once there was a boy who loved to read. His name was Porteg.
Oh, God.
He read everything he could get his hands on and loved going to his favorite bookstore. One day, the boy realized he had read everything in the store. He confronted the owner and asked him if he had anything the boy had never checked out. That doesn't make sense. You buy books in a bookstore. Sorry, guys. Inconsistencies. The owner said,
God.
Why, yes, I do. And pulled out a book called Death. He gladly
it's
sold
it. It's called Death?
It's called Death, okay. Jeez, Sandra. Stay quiet. I'm reading here.
Okay.
Oh, God. This is poorly written. Sorry. He gladly sold it to the boy at a discounted price of $50. Okay, don't question it. Shh. However, he warned the boy never to read the front page. Well, the boy returned to his house and read the book, and he was content. However, always wondered what could be on the front page. It was always in the back of his mind. One day, the temptation was too much. The boy flipped to the very front of the book and dropped the book in horror. In capital letters. Horrors in capital letters. Emphasis.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
There, in bold print, was MSRP $7.99.
I was about to say $50 for a freaking book? Is this a kid?
Oh, man, that's great.
Just like got ripped off.
So, guys, you've been listening to the My Downcast podcast with Sandra. Say hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Or say bye. Bye. Hey.
Bye,
Sandra. Make sure you're waving when you say it.
Yeah, I'm waving.
Okay. Porteg.
Bye.
Night Drain.
Bye.
And me. Remember, stay classy, San Diego.
Jim didn't say bye because he's in your house.
It's so spooky.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween indeed.
Shut your mouth. Go to sleep.
But now I have to do some schoolwork.
Sandra, no props.
Really, thank you very much for coming on the show, Sandra.
Of course, Liam.
I hope you have a really spooky Halloween.
Yeah, you too.
And never forget that may the ghosts be with you.
I will certainly not forget that. Okay, I will talk to you guys later.
Okay, Sandra, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Sandra, for having me. Bye.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, that was...
I'm gonna see how long I can distract them out.
Did you record that?